When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation, but the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
Welcome to episode number 75 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. With me, Dustin Galker, Adam Candy. You can find them on Twitter, and you should, at Dustin Galker, at Adam Candy, two E's, no Y. If you hate yourself, you can follow me on Twitter, at Matt Brown M2. Today, we are going to talk about, we have some numbers, and we always like to talk numbers on here for sure. We're going to talk about Tennessee and what is going on there. Going to talk about that big news from William Hill and Caesars as well, but let's kick things off here, Dustin. The kids wanted to take away our DFS and our sports betting and all the things like that by stealing all of our Bitcoins or something and stuff like that.
I'm not sure exactly what the point was, but yeah, the fantasy sports industry in general and DraftKings and FanDuel more in particular were impacted by a sports data provider Stats Perform being down for a while because of what we understand to be a ransomware hack, and it definitely wreaked havoc. I assume you, as an avid DFS player, were aware of all of this, and people were not happy about everything being down. DraftKings, we understand, switched to another data provider as a workaround. FanDuel was down, and it seems like everything is now back to normal. But it was an interesting thing. You want to go after these sports betting or fantasy sports providers. You don't have to go at them directly. You can go at them from the data side here. And Stats Perform was the one who has hit this. This hit everybody who uses them too. I mean, there are others. Mm-hmm. There are season long fantasy platforms uses Fantrax among them. So it was an interesting thing. FanDuel had to do a lot of make goods, it looks like, for people who are unable to access or unable to do late swap or things like that. And and we also have an example of BetOnline was apparently hacked too, right? The offshore sportsbook over the weekend. Don't know any details about that, but they were down for several days. So yeah, I mean, the lesson writ large here is be ready for this stuff, because people see an opportunity, hackers see an opportunity and they're coming after it.
Yeah, Adam, this was like the thing where you look and you're like, oh, well, they didn't even hack the actual sites themselves in order to make everything horrible for the customer base and things like that. So you're sitting back in your DraftKings and your FanDuel and you're kind of like, it's not even us. Like, it's not even us. It wasn't even us. I don't know what to do. And look, I think as Dustin mentioned, DraftKings at least had a plan in place. FanDuel came off fairly bad in this whole deal because their communication to the players and to people out there was not the greatest. And there was a whole bunch of people who were just wondering what in the heck was going on and weren't really getting a clear kind of concise definition, explanation of why this was going on. And so a lot of people were like, hey, I've got, you know, X thousand, X ten thousand. Some of these guys play hundreds of thousands of dollars on these sites a week that is kind of just hanging in the balance right now. I would really, really like to know why that is. This is similar to something that happened with SB Tech as well.
I think the reason that DraftKings was as well prepared as it was is that they've already been through this, right? Like, you've already been through it with SB Tech. And so you have some expertise there in terms of not necessarily quite the same as a provider, but someone who you're trying to integrate tech with. And that's really what we're talking about here is anyone that you're trying to integrate tech with, you have this potential issue hanging out there, this vulnerability. When we were talking about the FanDuel soccer bad bet from a few months back, that was something that FanDuel ultimately blamed on a third party software provider. So, you know, as Dustin mentioned, these holes are there to be exposed, not just for DraftKings or FanDuel, but for anybody who is that reliant on technology. And it's not just a matter of saying own your own tech stack, right? Because obviously FanDuel's been doing that for quite a long time. You know, data providers are always going to be third party unless somehow they're ever brought under the umbrella of another company. But as of now, that doesn't seem plausible at all.
And Dustin, I think the other thing here that kind of one of the deals that I was trying to dig into, because I was like, well, if this is affecting DFS, I wonder if this is affecting player props on the sports betting side of things, because that would kind of go hand in hand, right? I mean, like how many receptions a guy has and how many yards he has and how many touchdowns he scored seems like that's right along kind of in sync with what's going on the fantasy side of things. But that was not the case. Apparently all player props and everything. So which lets me know that there's a different mechanism for all of that on the sports betting side of things than there is on the DFS side of things, which I also thought was a bit curious that if you're, you know, I mean, it seems like it's the same type of data that you're taking to grade these sports bets as you would, you know, update these stats for the fantasy side of things. So that was one of the things I dug into, but apparently everything on the sports betting side was perfectly fine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. We maybe just haven't gotten to the level of efficiency yet in the U.S. market where all this stuff is under one house. I mean, DraftKings and FanDuel have been doing DFS for a long time. There's another whole ecosystem related to sports betting. So maybe that all gets under one house, maybe not. But yeah, we didn't see anything on the sports betting operator side affected by all of this, which is obviously good news. Usually we're seeing SportRadar or Genius Sports are leveraged in this way. You know, yeah. Have trading on other platforms on the back end and with companies like Kambi. So none of that was affected. This was a DFS story more than a sports betting story. It obviously would have been a bigger story if we're seeing sports betting sites go down. But it did make me go back to think about the SB Tech story. I mean, it was kind of weird that it took as far as I know, we broke this story that this is why FanDuel was down for so long. I just want to see transparency. Like, yes, it was down, but we had no idea why it was down or what was going on. It doesn't seem like it should be that much of a lift to say, hey, our stats provider was hit by this problem. Like, just be honest about it. Again, I don't know why we have to be the ones digging it out, reporting it. Just say it out there. I mean, maybe I'm going too far with that, but it does seem like, you know, all of something like this, transparency would be the better course.
Adam, apparently they want Bitcoins. Whenever I was hacked and someone went in and sent emails out to my entire list with a link, when people clicked on the link, which why would you click on the link? What were you thinking? They were asking for Bitcoins. So apparently everybody's trying to steal the Bitcoins is what's going on here. Like there is like, give me all the Bitcoins.
Now, is that like what Sonic the Hedgehog used to collect?
Pretty much. I think so.
I wasn't sure if it was similar or not. I'm not necessarily in on the crypto.
How we never ventured into this. I mean, we've talked stocks on this podcast. How do we never ventured into being crypto touts, Dustin? Is like, I mean, because that there's a lot of crossover between these industries. I mean, all these sports betting guys are into the crypto. I don't know how you didn't become a crypto tout.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lack in my portfolio of things I tout, that's for sure. I mean, people want to, I mean, to go off on the tangent of Bitcoin a little bit, like people want to see Bitcoin and sports betting and all of this, but I, you know, nobody at the legislative regulatory side of things knows anything about sports betting. So to ask them to understand cryptocurrencies on top of that and how it intersects with online gambling, hard pass for a while until we get till everything matures a little bit more.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've been telling a lot of my friends that are very bullish on everything. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I get it in theory, but do the people that can actually make it happen get it? And the answer is no, they don't. They don't understand most things when it goes down. So, Adam, we do love to talk numbers here on the podcast, and we got some interesting ones out of Pennsylvania.
The party continues in terms of record breaking. Pennsylvania has the kind of September that New Jersey had, that Indiana had, $460+ million in handle for Pennsylvania. That, of course, breaks a monthly record, same as in New Jersey and in Indiana as well. So up about 17%. And the interesting mark to me was that below 4% hold. So what we've also seen is a trend across the country where bettors have done pretty well over this last 30-day period. And in Pennsylvania, that's particularly notable because even though you have that enormous handle, remember that it's a 36% effective tax rate in Pennsylvania. So you would think that would turn into a huge month for the tax coffers, but maybe not quite so much because the hold was a little on the smaller side.
Yeah, like you mentioned, bettors have done fairly well so far. And you got to think that as we get the October numbers, will that level off? I don't know. I mean, the Lakers were the chalk to win the NBA. The Dodgers, obviously, the chalk to win the World Series, if that plays out. So a lot of moneyline favorites have been getting home in the NFL. So maybe we will see hold a little bit smaller as well with all of that. Dustin, in Pennsylvania, though, with these numbers, you know, we know about the free bets and free money and match bets and different things and stuff like that, free sandwiches and whatever else, the promos that are going in. How does that all factor into these numbers?
Yeah, another is a side note, interesting piece that from Brad Allen on what these PA sports betting numbers are. We get interesting data from there in that Pennsylvania breaks down promo credits, which is, you know, free bets, bonuses, things like that. Anything that's not, you know, that's given away, you know, in by the sports books. And in Pennsylvania in September, it was huge. There were, you said, 13 million in revenue, just a little bit over. There's 12 million in promo credits. So that's a lot of bonusing and free bets and all sorts of stuff being. I mean, we remember the Kansas City Chiefs +101. That was kind of everywhere. 101 points, obviously a no brainer bet. Everybody was getting that. That's just free money being given away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an operator, it's kind of smart to be doing this because you're getting taxed on that net revenue credit. And you're dealing with this high tax rate that we said would be, you know, obviously said over the time would be prohibitive. But, you know, written into the law and the regulations is that you can offset with promo credit. So why not in Pennsylvania spend a lot of money on promos and give a lot of money away? And, you know, we saw just tons of money be given away by the biggest operators. DraftKings only had $1 million in some revenue, but gave away $2.3 million in promo credit. So they're actually, you know, giving more away than they got in revenue. Barstool, its first week, lost money just booking and also gave away $2.1 million in promos. It's fascinating because we don't get this data anywhere else, but you have to imagine it's a fairly similar story. I mean, it might be exacerbated in Pennsylvania just because of the tax structure and how they set things up, but you got to imagine you're seeing similar levels of bonusing and promos just about everywhere, and that some of this straight revenue you're seeing is a lot of it's going back, especially at the start of NFL season, going back to players in the form of bonuses.
Adam, I think we can say, except in Nevada.
Yeah, numerous offers out there, Matt, and all of them say offer not valid in Nevada after they list off about 10 other states.
They do. Every single one of the promos, like, oh, this sounds the greatest thing. Offer not valid, Nevada. Like it goes to the end. You're like, oh, cool. Thanks for letting me know about that one that I can't take advantage of. Really,
Superbook was giving you guys
that,
like casino, like slot machine credit instead of, right? I think I saw that one. To go into the visible casino and play slots, I think I saw.
And they did like hotel rooms if you signed up for the super contest and stuff. So there were at least some incentives for stuff like that. But typically, we don't We don't get the goods. We certainly don't get the goods on a week-to-week basis like everybody else does all over this with the odds boosts and the match bets and things like that. Adam, so we are, let me check my little, my watch that I don't wear here. We're about 2 weeks away from Tennessee being part of the fray, right?
Your non-existent watch once again is right, Matt. I don't know how you do it. We are within a couple of weeks of Tennessee launch. November 1st is the official date that the lottery has been targeting in Tennessee, and we already have 4 applications approved. We have 3 more applications that are in process right now for operators. Keep in mind, Tennessee is going to be an interesting state because it is all online. There are no casinos, so it is basically mobile only for sports betting in Tennessee. But there are some strange rules. You're dealing with a 20% tax rate in Tennessee, and there's also that strange minimum hold rule of 10% that doesn't exist anywhere else in the country. So I think it's natural to go in and say, hey, the free bets will look just the same in Tennessee as they have elsewhere. That might not necessarily be the case just because the math is a little bit different. Yes, it'll likely be aggressive, but maybe not on the same order as some other places. So Tennessee, remember, passed its law more than a year ago, May of 2019. There were numerous false starts, but some personnel changes over the summer, and looks like they're ready to push forward with it here starting in November.
And Dustin, from my calendar here, November the 1st is a Sunday, which would mean they, in theory, would be going live on an NFL Sunday.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a great idea to me. It sounds like
doesn't that seem like you'd want like a couple of days to like make sure everything was working out? I mean, like, we've seen things go fairly smoothly, but, you know, I mean, maybe you just want to test the waters a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. I would rather not launch on a Sunday. I mean, that's the volume, the busiest day of the week in terms of betting and getting people to sign up. It doesn't seem like that's what you'd want to do. There is probably a happy medium between Colorado, which launched in May into the pandemic with absolutely nothing going on other than table tennis, and launching into a full slate of NFL games. Again, like, I mean, who knows what you'll run into? I mean, even here, like, I like to my own experience here in Oregon, but like the app is less responsive when you're launching into like when NFL is going on. There's more people on it. Like, your first day should not be the heaviest load, give people a bad user experience. Who knows? This is 3 of the 4 operators that will go live are DraftKings, FanDuel, and BetMGM. They obviously are pretty aware of what they are going to run into. So maybe that's not as big of an issue as we're making it out to be. It's also weird. We had a recap of the latest here, a meeting about sports betting in Tennessee from our Matthew Waters. And he was saying how like the content of that meeting, they're still working out wording of sports betting regulations. Like, that's a weird thing to be doing a couple of weeks out from launch. Like, you think that stuff would be squared away? So I don't know. There's also the possibility of a soft launch. They've been floating that in Tennessee of go live for a few hours the days leading up to it. It's up to November 1st and then a full launch. So all of this is on the table, very fluid situation, but we'll obviously keep you up to date whatever's going on in Tennessee.
Yeah, we'll certainly over at Legal Sports Report, everything we talk about here is over there. So we'll keep you up to date on what's going on there. But yeah, 2 weeks out, seems like you might want to kind of have the plan in place. But, it's 2020, right? I mean, we're dealing with all this and everything. Everybody's just doing whatever in the hell seems to like they can get done. Guys, should have said this at the top, but of course, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple, we're on Google, we're on Stitcher. So go in and give us a subscription and look, rate and review these things. It'll help us climb the charts and more people can find this. We're trying to spread the good word about sports betting here and legal sports betting. So I do appreciate all of those as well. Dustin, you and Adam hear rumors. You guys know things. People talk to you. And so what's the scuttlebutt going around about Sport Radar?
So Sport Radar is raising $500 million for potential acquisitions. And there's a note from an analyst saying $350 million of that is speculated to be raised for a specific M&A target. We do not know what that target is ourselves, but we have Brad Allen speculating up on our behalf over at a story at LSR. Probably not a sports betting platform because they already bought one of those last year. But there are lots of possibilities out there. Casino is a growing industry here in and US Sportradar are increasingly tied to the people who are in online gambling here in the US. So an online casino platform for that and for the rest of the world would make sense. A sports analytics firm might be something out there that's possible. Streaming / sports media, those are possibilities. At the price tag of $350 million, we can safely say they're probably not buying an operator, or at least not a very large one. And you know, these things that are related to their business, but things that would make sense in growing their business or expanding it beyond their current reach are things that would make sense.
Adam, we're just speculating here, but when you see $350 million, you know, it's a lot of money, but then at the same time, it's not a lot of money, right? So it's kind of like Dustin said, you know, kind of the type of business they might could be going after, because you can't really be going after anybody of any size, because $350 is not going to get it done. But then at the same time, you can go after some of these other maybe up and coming type companies or emerging market type companies or something like that. I think Dustin's speculation, or I guess it's Brad's, of maybe some sort of streaming platform, some sort of something like that, kind of seems to me like that fits in the whole deal of what Sportradar is trying to do. But if you were speculating, what are you thinking?
Streaming was honestly the first thing that came to mind, Matt, when you think about realistically what Sportradar might be interested in, unless they were seriously expanding the scope of their business, because they operate in a space where the players are pretty well defined, right? With Sportradar, with Genius Sport, Stats Perform has its own business. But in the end, they're probably not going to be doing, you know, their own sportsbook operation, right? They're feeding the data to sportsbooks. But they have been involved with streaming in the past, and so it wouldn't be surprising at all, considering we've talked a lot about the fact that, you know, the idea of in-app streaming is in its infancy right now in the US. It's very common in the UK and in Europe and overseas markets, but, you know, right now, for the most part, it's limited to, you know, tennis, and there'll be some golf, and they're working on some MMA and so on. But, you know, the four major sports don't have any affiliation to that degree yet. So, you know, we know Sportradar is tied up with a lot of the major sports leagues, and, you know, would make sense if streaming were somewhere within the realm of what they'd be looking at.
A quick follow-up to one of the stories that we talked about last week was that BetMGM was going to be debuting betting odds during an actual PGA Tour broadcast that happened out at Shadow Creek here in Las Vegas. Guys, we were saying, hey, this could be good, especially if they don't kind of beat the viewer over the head with it. I don't know how much of the tournament you got to catch, but I was able to watch a pretty good amount of it. And I think that they did it well. I think that was a very good first go at introducing odds and live odds and things into a broadcast. They didn't bring it up every hole. They didn't bring it up every player. Hell, they didn't even bring it up every segment. It seemed like there was certain times where they brought things up. Like, there's a short par 17. They brought up, like, you know, what a hole in one odds would have been or something like that. And they did that a couple of times, but really, you know, every three or four segments, they would kind of show the leaderboard, and then just over on the side, they put the live odds for that player to win the tournament and a little reference here and there to it. But I mean, all in all, I thought it was a really good first effort to kind of dip the toe in the water, not beat the viewer over the head with it, but still work it into a broadcast, because again, it's a very real thing that's happening. And it also, I think, is going to be a big part of golf moving forward.
Yeah, Matt, I would agree with that. And I would say that what I saw from it was a good balance between not being too simplistic, but also not being too overly complicated, right? Like, they didn't go into, you know, the how to's and the explainers of how to bet, but at the same time, they're still putting up, you know, odds that I think you have to know a little bit about betting in the first place to make sense of, right? When you're just putting pluses and minuses with American odds on the boards, then, you know, you have to know a little bit in order to make sense of that. I like the way they did it too. You know, some simple chirons and stuff that they just threw up there and let it be without pointing to it and without making a big deal of it. Probably want to be a little, I'll say, more selective in terms of what they choose. Like, the very first thing I looked up and saw was odds about the, you know, which South Korean golfer was going to finish first. Like, yeah, that's a little on the exotic side, I think, for the average bettor. But for a first effort, and from some of the other first efforts that we've seen at this, I thought it was well.
I thought the broadcasters could be a little bit more like tuned into it. I mean, they didn't seem super comfortable talking about it. And, you know, and again, you're right. First effort, we're being a little too, maybe I'm being a little too critical, but, you know, I think before you, I mean, obviously this all happened very quickly in terms of BetMGM and the PGA Tour right. rolling this out on a broadcast. So you don't want to be super critical, but I think that's what takes is that the broadcasters, if you're going to integrate, they have to have them be like, it has to be secondhand to them to not have to force it in. Like they understand all of it. You know, that's going to come, I think, in golf and across sports as we work betting content into broadcasts.
Yeah. One of the things that they did, which I thought was good, was like when kind of like a fun bet was fitting the narrative, they kind of popped it up. There was one, would a golfer birdie 17 on all 4 days? And Tyrrell Hatton had birdied it like the first 2 days. And so they brought it up on the third day when he's standing on the green there, because it was like plus 12,000 or something like that for someone to birdie it all 4 days in a row or something. And so, you know, I think little things like that, the average viewer goes, oh, and would that be neat if he did that? Or so, you know, it just kind of adds a little bit to the deal. And, you know, the fact that they less was more to me for this first go at it. And the fact that they didn't kind of go super, super heavy with it was probably the way to go about it. And I look forward to, you know, what they do next. I imagine we just got the announcement that the match 3 is going to be happening. That's going to certainly be, you know, focused around some sort of gambling. We, two of the biggest gamblers that we openly know in sports in Mickelson and Barkley are going to be participating. So we definitely know there'll be some money exchanging hands there. Take us home here, Adam. Tell us what's going on with this William Hill and Caesars deal.
This has been an interesting one to watch because it started out just sort of a speculation and rumor. And then it became Caesars basically holding up the hammer and saying, go ahead and reject our bid. We'll just end the partnership. Then, you know, the bid being initially agreed upon. But where we are right now is this still needs to be approved by William Hill shareholders. And Brad Allen was talking to some folks on his side of the pond over in the UK who suggested that maybe this isn't necessarily a sure thing, as he looked at who had been buying up some of the William Hill shares coming up upon the vote as to whether to do this or not. So remember, this goes back a number of years when we talk about the tie up between William Hill and Caesars, and it involves El Dorado. And, you know, it was a complicated thing in the first place. But what we've essentially seen is that now when you watch, you know, say an ESPN broadcast, you see odds from Caesar Sportsbook powered by William Hill. Right. So the integration is already out there to some degree, but there is a little bit of uncertainty left as to whether or not this will be approved by shareholders, because they think that some think that the share price might be a bit too low from the Caesars offer.
Dustin, do you remember when we made an announcement here on the podcast about a deal being struck between Caesars and DraftKings, and then we never heard anything about it ever again in the history of all news? Like, that was like the craziest thing. Like, I've never seen something just disappear into the ether like that announcement between Caesars and DraftKings. It's like, hey, there's a partnership between Caesars and DraftKings, and then no one ever spoke of it ever again.
It's like I don't know what it's like. It's like your family doing something embarrassing at Thanksgiving and you just never talk about it again. I don't know. But yeah, it's wild that was a major story when it happened, and then there's never any evidence of it being put out into the wild, and that it just went away. I've heard scuttlebutt about it, but nothing that we could possibly report on the record. It is a wild time to remember that was a thing and is no longer a thing anywhere in the world.
Yeah, it's like neither company wants to talk about it. You ask either one, they're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know. I don't going to talk about any of that stuff. So yeah, it's pretty great. Guys, everything that we talk about here on the podcast, you can find at LegalSportsReport.com. And you really should follow Dustin and Adam on Twitter for great commentary and sharing of all of the stuff that we go over here, at Dustin Galker, at Adam Candy, 2 E's, no Y. And again, you can hate follow me at Matt Brown M2 if you'd like to. At what are we?
You've been saying LSP it for 75 episodes. You know what it is. Stop pretending like you don't.
LSP Report is the main account, guys. And of course, Apple, Spotify, Google, and Stitcher. Please go out, give us a subscribe, rate, review. We do appreciate all of that. For Dustin, for Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
the go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.